Treat you like you're a little man.
In attendance, for the millions watching around the world. Let's get ready to suck
it! Don't treat me like a woman. Don't treat me like a man. Don't treat me like you know me. Treat me for just who I am.
With China's theme music, because unfortunately we lost a legend this past week, only hours before Prince died. WWE Attitude Era legend China, unfortunately, passed away. For those of you who knew China, who grew up in China, like we did in Attitude Era, it's a really, you know, it's a terrible thing to see. I mean, 47 years old, maybe over 45. Either way, mid to late 40s was a terrible thing. I was instrumental, you know, in my wrestling growing up, and you know, it's just, it was one of those things where it kind of came out of the blue. I think it got overshadowed a little bit by the Prince death, but you know, so far I'm being told he had been confronting some demons and was taking sleeping pills and anxiety medication, mixing up her drugs and things like that is what I'm being told. Unfortunately, you know, we see that happen a lot. So we've got Jason, as usual, here with us on Monday. It's Jeremy, who you've heard on Satellite Sundays, and you will be hearing on Sports Roundup coming up in the next month. Also was a wrestling fan growing up. So Joan Marie Lawler, Joan Marie Lawler, rest in peace, sir. And just want to ask you guys, because I have a pretty disturbing clip to play, but what is you growing up? Jason, I mean, you've been watching wrestling for longer than I have, but I mean, not a lot longer, but longer. What was wrestling? What was China to you growing up?
I mean, she was, as advertised, she was definitely the ninth wonder of the world. Everything she did back then would pretty much eclipse what women's wrestling meant back before her. I mean, coming in at work Triple H, coming in with Shawn Michaels, being a founding member of D-Generation X, becoming a two-time Intercontinental Champion. We'll never see a woman hold a men's title ever again. I mean,
no, and we had before that, and you know, that was one of the things. And I think I thought it was so weird because obviously she was very manly in terms of her body. Anyway, she could compete with guys. And, you know, of course, they only had her compete with the smaller guys, Jericho, things like that. They never put her in the ring with, you know, The Undertaker. But, you know, she was one of those, you know, she's a bodybuilding champion. She's from Rochester, New York. She's from right down the road here from me, about a couple hours west. But Jeremy, what about you growing up? I know we had sort of a wrestling show when we were at Connecticut broadcasting together. Well, actually, it was part of your show. It wasn't necessarily a full wrestling show, but I know that you were a little older. Yes, well, I was a little bit older than Jason and I. What was China to you growing up through the Attitude Era? I mean, she was pretty instrumental in the whole DX thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, in fact, a lot of DX wins came because of China disqualifications, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, you have the longest opening to a show I've ever heard in my life. I thought I was going to fall asleep. Thank you for that.
It's not any longer than Saturday Sundays. It's about a minute and a half.
Well, listen, I didn't really watch back then when China was. I watched some things like I grew up more in the 80s watching wrestling. I stopped watching around after WrestleMania 12 because I got kind of bored when Hulk Hogan was my favorite wrestler. He left. I kind of just like. And so I can't call her a girl. I call her it. I've seen it wrestle. And, you know, she was a pretty big dude, man. Like, I'm sorry. She was okay for a chick, like, but, you know, she used to scare the hell out of me. I'm not going to lie. Like, she was the first woman I thought that could kick my ass. Like, she freaked me out. But, you know, she left it longer than I thought she was going to be honest with you. But I thoroughly enjoyed it. I thought the way she talked freaked me out, truthfully. She sounded like Brittany Griner on steroids. But, you know, I thought she was pretty good.
Well, Brittany Griner wasn't even a sperm yet back when she was around. So,
yeah.
But let me. Yeah, I don't want to really think about that. I know it's Griner.
Yeah,
Griner,
I just wrote my mouth a little bit.
Now, one thing, Jason said he has some theories about this. I had no idea, honestly, that there was issues between China and between the WWE. And you know, back in the day, obviously. To listen to this music all the time coming out, and you know, I played China's theme music to start her actual own theme music. We used to hear this at first.
One, two, is this on? Yo, Jimmy, hit me with that Triple H.
So you don't know how many times I heard that, and
oh,
it was like
a long time.
No, oh, I know, and that was I would hear it, and all of a sudden, at growing up, being in eighth grade, whatever, that was, oh boy, you know, trouble's coming. Triple H is coming out. That music that I had just played was sort of the villain of my childhood, put it that way. And you know, during the Attitude Era and during the McMahon-Helmsley era. That was the music that Triple H used. Now, unfortunately, it's going to become more synonymous with Triple H and Stephanie McMahon when they used to come out all of 99 when The Rock and Triple H were The Rock and Austin were out. That was his theme music, McMahon-Helmsley regime, blah, 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 blah. But that music first started with him in China, and a lot of people don't know that.
Yeah.
We obviously opened the show.
Right.
We opened the show with DX, obviously. That was another thing China was involved in. But yeah, that music, when you first started it off now, everyone's like, oh yeah, that's, Triple H and Stephanie. And any clip, whenever you find that, that music being played in any clips, for the most part, you see Stephanie coming out with Triple H. Now, well, it was China. So, I have a clip here. It's a little disturbing. But we're going to play it. like I was saying, I didn't know that there was any beef between the two, and Jason, like I said on, Satellite Sundays is like our human stat machine. So he might know this. He might have an inside take on this. I don't know. Hopefully we get his take after. It's about a minute and a half long, I've never heard China in this kind of state before. So listen up.
Hi, this is China, and I just want to respond to all of the craziness that's been going on between myself and the WWE and myself and Hunter. First, I want to say that my name is China. Those that know me as Joni or Joan, that's cool, but just to let everybody out there know that my name is legally China. So, regarding my relationship with the WWE and Hunter, those were the best days of my life, wonderful opportunities, and I'm very grateful for those days, which is why I feel so passionate about being inducted in the WWE Hall of Fame. And in my campaign to be inducted, a lot of other issues have come up, which I feel are personal between myself and Hunter and myself and Vince. And I have gone to WWE offices to try to get a meeting to discuss these issues personally with Hunter and with Vince. And I would really like to open the dialogue and have an audience with them to make that happen. Hunter and Vince, May I please have a meeting so we can make amends and bury the hatchet?
So that was China in a weird emotional state, something I haven't really heard very often. Jason, was there some sort of a, like, what was going on? I always thought China just kind of a tired, went into porn, which I thought was kind of strange, but she did. what's she talking about here? What's the beef?
Well, I mean, it's funny how life, you know, sometimes emulate art. Now, I don't know if a lot of the listeners, I'm not sure if a lot of listeners know this, but Triple H and China were really an item.
Yeah,
and they were
before Stephanie.
Were,
yeah.
Right, yeah. Right up until before Stephanie. And then that whole angle just took off, and, you know, Hunter pretty much distanced himself from her. And when Shawn Michaels was gone, she really had no support system at the company. Now, a couple months ago when Roddy Roddy Piper's funeral, that's when it started, you know, that's when the whole speculation that, you know, China confronted Triple H for the first time in years, and she, you know, she asked for a meeting then at the funeral, which was totally inappropriate to ask for a meeting with Hunter at someone else's funeral.
About yourself, yeah.
Yeah, it's you know,
terrible.
It made it seem like it's more about, yeah, it's terrible, terrible timing. So she was battling out of demons, and, you know, pretty much for Hunter's side, come to find out, you know, you did a porno with his one of his best friends, how was he supposed to take you seriously?
Right.
Now, I knew she did porn. I didn't know it was with one of his friends, though.
It was X-Pac.
Yeah, X-Pac there, that One Night in China thing.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, that's true. One Night in China. I get it. One Night in China. I get it. I get it. That's disgusting, but I get it.
Right. Yeah,
yeah,
it's gross.
Jeremy, I know you have the DVD box set. Come on.
Oh, please. I have that braille, too. It's all bad.
But I personally believe the reason they never inducted her in the Hall of Fame is because they was afraid of what she would say with a live mic. Same reason Macho Man, unfortunately, you know, rest in peace, he didn't get into the Hall of Fame while he was still alive, because there was still a lot of bad blood with the company. You know, unless you're Bret Hart, it took Bret Hart years to mend the fence with Vince.
And Vince actually screwed him worse than he screwed China here, and that's,
exactly.
That's another pun. See what I did?
Right, exactly.
But here's the thing, and to make things a little lighter here, do you feel China does belong in the WWE Hall of Fame? Because, I mean, I'm looking through the list here, and, I mean, yeah, they got some big names, Ultimate Warrior, Jake the Snake, Lita, Paul Bearer, Trish Stratus, you know, Bruno Sammartino, Foley, you know, guys like that. But then there's, you know, there's, where is he here? Scrolling down, Snoop Dogg.
Isn't freaking
Jacqueline.
Pete Rose in there now?
Yeah, Pete Rose. Jacqueline
yeah,
got
give
in.
Give me a break.
You know, who else? Carlos Colon. I'm not even quite sure who that is. You know, but there are guys on there. Sonny, are you telling me Sonny got in before China? Hacksaw Jim Duggan right up the road from me. I mean, he was a gimmick character for the most part. You know, there are May Young.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, and there's a lot of names on here. Mr. Fuji is in. So, I mean, there are things where, do you think that China perhaps should have gotten in before now? Or do you think that, because I think personally, I didn't know about this whole beef, so I didn't. I was always wondering, you know, when she was going to get in. Unfortunately, now I think she gets in simply because she's dead, which kind of sucks.
Yep,
you're right. No, it's terrible.
Which kind of sucks, because now they're going to do it as like a tribute. Same thing with Pete Rose. Jeremy mentioned Pete Rose. Rose isn't going to get into the Baseball Hall of Fame until he's dead.
Right.
So,
yeah. Oh, you got a chance.
So that's. But you know, so that's why. I think it kind of sucks, because obviously you heard her. But here's the conundrum about it. Here's the catch-22. I think China is dead because of this Hall of Fame thing. I think that she had
really?
Yeah, because she had so many, like you said, demons, and based on what I'm being told, she was mixing medication, sleeping meds.
Yeah, she couldn't escape them.
Yeah, it was eating her up so badly that she was mixing medications and things, and it just got to be too much for her. I think that had Triple H and Vince sat down with her and said, hey, listen, we don't really like the fact that you're doing porn. We don't really like the fact that everybody knows you're doing porn, because it's a social media age and those things are easy to find out. You know, go on live and make, you know, but here's the thing. She was in Playboy too, but that was the attitude era. That would never pass
right.
now.
That was fine. The Playboy was fine. It's the porn that, and then she didn't
yeah,
just
porn,
one
porn.
She did multiple
deal.
Videos.
Yeah, multiple. You can find them on all sorts of stuff.
Christ, like an adventure.
Yeah, exactly. You can go on like eFucked.com and find it and stuff, and you can find her everywhere.
Yeah.
The point is this, though, is I feel like because the way that she was sort of shunned from the company when she did retire, she was still in good physical shape. She was still,
yeah, she was.
She still felt like she was, you know, pretty enough to do something. And I think that a lot of these women have, you know, they get allured in by the money. She wasn't making a paycheck
mm-hmm.
anymore, and porn was going to pay
mm-hmm.
her more, and it was a quick buck. And, you know, sometimes it's like people do things in the spur of the moment and they don't realize the long-term consequences. And I think she was doing it to make a paycheck, doing it because she wasn't getting one weekly from WWF. Yeah, oh, yeah, that too. And, you know, and I think that really, honestly, had Vince and Triple H sat down with her and actually did meet with her, we might still have Chyna today. We might not see her in the Hall of Fame, but we might still have her today. I think the reason why they shunned her was one of the reasons why she died, unfortunately. But now, Jason, you had mentioned earlier, because we're going to get into women's wrestling here, you have a really good idea for possibly a pay-per-view idea. We have Finn Balor topic coming up. We also have, is WWE salvageable, and John Cena's return. But first, you mentioned earlier on off air that you had a theory about this whole thing. Well, what was your theory here?
I really think the whole reason that Triple H and Chyna never got to mend the fence was Stephanie McMahon. She probably wanted She probably wanted no parts to do with Chyna. She was like, let her do a thing. She probably was throwing the porn in Triple H's face. Like, hey, look, this is your ex. Look at her. She's sleeping with your she's sleeping with one of your best friends, and she's continuing to distance herself from us. So there's no way we could bring her back. And
did either one of you two watch Chyna porn or no?
I have.
I've seen it.
Chyna. I've seen Sunny. Any WWE performer who's unfortunately, I haven't seen Hogan yet. You know, I don't want to see that.
That was a
please.
Mess. Well, Jeremy, let me ask you this then. Would you watch it? Would you watch it if it was Stephanie McMahon?
If my wife is not listening, I would watch that in about 2 seconds in a heartbeat. Absolutely.
Okay.
I think, you know, let me tell you, I think this, a lot of this is from Stephanie McMahon. I bet just a lot of it is professional. China was pretty damn big from like 98 to like 2001 at least. She took over that thing, man, you know, and I think Stephanie was, you know, she was just, you know, was a writer back then, and, you know, she kind of got back into it. It's like, I think she was really jealous. I really think it had a lot to do with it. Like, that's a problem still now, even to this day, which is pretty sad.
Well, there were rumors that she had had issues with other women in the company even back then.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, Triple H was the top guy. Triple H was the top guy when Rock was out, when Stone Cold was out. And, you know, a lot of people liked, you know, he was in good physical shape. He was the man, you know, and a lot of people. So there were rumors about it. The only thing that's different about it is if I watched a Stephanie McMahon porn, I would want it to be on mute because that voice, I can't do it. I can't do the voice or have her have no talking lines or maybe one of those little red ball gag things or something. But I just could not do the voice. Chyna's voice wasn't
much better. You're a lot smarter than I thought you were.
Yeah, well, Chyna's voice is not much better, or wasn't much better, I should say. But Stephanie's is just shrill. But anyway,
I'd rather listen to Pee Wee Herman talk than her.
Exactly.
Really?
I would rather crucify a cat than listen to that. So here's my thing. Well, here's the thing. We don't have the same restrictions as Satellite Sundays on this show, Jeremy. So you'll find that out. But
I love it. I just peed a little. I'm not gonna lie.
Well, all right. Well, at least you didn't do something else. Speaking of women's wrestling now, Jeremy also – or not Jeremy. Geez, you both have J names. That's so confusing. Jason
you can
brought
call me
up
– DJ Fat Fresh if you want.
I like that, actually. I like
that.
Spur of the moment. Quick thinking. Jason came up with an idea. Now, Jeremy, tell me if you think this is a good idea because, you know, Jason is full of ideas as well.
Because he's smart.
He is smart. It's all that's something in the water down there in Brooklyn. He's got the idea for a, he thinks now that there's enough women, Emma's back, we got Natty's here now, still have Team Bad, still have Charlotte, still have girls who are doing it. Plus there's still a couple of girls in NXT who are waiting to come up. He thinks that maybe it's time to have a women's Money in the Bank match.
I think that's the best idea ever in a long time, man. I don't know.
And
I don't, honestly, I don't know about it. I don't know if the women, no offense, them, like, could handle the physicality of ladders, you know, sort of. But, you know, I don't know if they would let them do that, but I think it's a great idea, truthfully. I mean, if they, hell, if they sign a waiver or something like that to do it, I think it's great. I mean, I don't know, because you've seen how crazy ladder matches get where guys are jumping off the top of the buildings, it seems like, for Christ's sake, on top of ladders. I don't know if the women have the stamina for this kind of match, number one. I feel like some girls are going to break their neck and something bad is going to happen, but I think it's a great idea, truthfully. But, you know, I think injuries would be the most important key there, I think, girl.
Yeah, I mean, I see it. I think that the match would be very tame compared to some of the crazy, you know, Hardy Boys moments and things that
yeah.
we saw
oh,
in Money in the Bank matches. Now, I mean, I think maybe it's just me being a perv. I don't know. But I think we should go back to some of the things that they had back in the day. Now, I understand that in
if
the
you
Attitude
say Braun
era,
Penny's match, I will make out with you right now.
Well, here's the thing, okay? Yes, that'd be awesome, or nightgown match or something.
Okay.
But obviously these women wouldn't do that, okay? These women aren't Sable. These are actual fighters here. And so that's why I don't think you could do that. Plus with the feminist movement in this country, you know,
yeah.
the kids program, this and that. But
you're right.
perhaps you could get interesting with some matches, strap matches, mm-hmm. paddling matches. You know,
yeah.
you could get into some, you know, not necessarily the mud wrestling, but you could get into something, you know, something interesting.
Yeah.
You know?
Winner
did yeah.
Chris Wiggins match.
Yeah.
yeah.
That they'd all get disqualified
yeah,
on purpose
that's true.
If that was the case.
Yeah.
But you know, I just think that we have more women to choose from now, which is good.
It's about
I know
time,
back in
if you ask me.
Well, yeah, but I mean, back in the day, you know, you had your Trish Stratus, and I could still hear King to this day, oh, puppies, whoo!
Puppies!
Yeah, I could still hear him. And then, you know, I could still hear JR, you know, sort of giving those subtle sexual innuendos, but not really being into it, you know? Mm-hmm. But they used to have those.
I used to love Mickey
panties.
James. You guys like Mickey James? I used to like her until they turned crazy, man.
Mickey
she was
good. Well, she's crazy in real life. Real quick
yeah.
though, and we're gonna jump back onto this. I'm watching Raw. I don't know if you've got it on. Now they're yep. doing the China tribute at 10:22.
So late.
They did a Prince tribute first when the New Day came out and you know did their thing. Now they're doing mm-hmm. China, and I mean, it's I mean they waited
that's
awfully long,
2.5 hours into the show. That's disgusting.
But
yeah,
you notice something funny? You know something funny about the tribute? Okay, never
huh.
mind. They showed all three of them. I was about to say where is
oh,
Triple H and their interaction, but they showed it.
But you notice
yeah,
that it was a young
Twitter
it was a young
Triple
H.
H. Show, Michael.
But you
yeah.
notice when that clip was from? That clip was from 1997, 2 years before
yeah.
he got with Stephanie. I guarantee
yeah,
you're not going
to
see
the hell out of Mark Henry right now.
Yeah, you're not going to show. You're not going to see a China. I guarantee you, watching this thing, you're not going to see China and Triple H after the Stephanie time. Let me see. Because she was with
mm-hmm.
him briefly. Remember, during the corporation, he was still with
mm-hmm.
Stephanie. And then
yeah.
he was still sort of tag teaming with China. People forget about that. Let me see if – oh, shoot. Sorry about that. Because I dropped my headphones. I don't know. I'm
they're showing
her
romance with Eddie
it.
Guerrero right now.
Hey, that was some good stuff with her and Eddie. That was
this
some
is
good
kind
stuff.
Of a
oh, that was hilarious.
In my opinion. I mean, it's there's not really
guys,
a lot of music.
Guys, let me ask you guys something. What do you think if she hadn't died and like and she if she wrestled nowadays, do you think that she'd still be
well,
what she dominates now? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
too. I think she would
physically,
whoop everybody's ass. Yeah.
Well, physically, she's so much bigger than any of these women are.
Yeah,
it's scary. I mean, Charlotte
let me ask you,
big broad, but she's triple the size of Charlotte.
Big broad.
<Jeez. laughs>
well, Charlotte's just tall.
Oh wow.
China was just, you know, and I really feel bad saying this because she is dead. But when I was a kid and I was in eighth grade, we used to make bets with each other in the lunchroom that China was because again, nowadays this is more accepting, but back then you didn't see this that often. We had made bets that China was born a man, was a guy,
and was going
through that transition period.
Right.
And
did you
now you know.
Bigger penis than you did?
Pretty much, yeah. At the time, and that made me jealous.
Yeah.
So
that's
you
awesome.
Know, that was what we used to do. Now, I feel terrible saying that because now I know that that's the farthest thing from the truth, but that's what we used to think. And, you know, getting into sort of some of these women's matches here, Money in the Bank would be cool. I think the bra and panties, the strap matches and all that would be cool.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't foresee it happening. But I'm going to get into this then from angles, because they haven't really written a good women's angle in a while. But unfortunately, the women's angles right now, unfortunately, the best storyline angles on the show at the time right now, which kind of sucks.
Yeah.
So what was your guys? I'll let Jason go first here. What was your favorite China angle? Because she's had a lot.
Honestly, I would say it was her little feud, her interactions with Chris Jericho. Those were some hilarious.
Jericho
times.
Was cool.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting when they shared the Intercontinental title, and if either one of them lost it, they were bitter enemies.
Yeah.
And if either one of them lost it, they would both lose it. So then they were helping each other out, even though they hated each other. That was kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I agree.
What about you?
I did enjoy actually Connelly when she was with Eddie Guerrero there for a time.
Latino
Heat. Look at his eyes.
Latino
Heat,
yeah.
Oh, my God, the look in his eyes used to crack me up when he looked at her.
he was
the same person for a while there, man.
Yeah, he was a horny
like
dude, that's for sure.
He was taller than he was, man. That was just so funny because the girl was so small. She was like 6'8 compared to him. Oh,
I know. It was awesome. I bet you she could probably bench press Eddie Guerrero. Can you imagine them in the bedroom?
No, not really. I don't know why you would think about that, truthfully. But
I think about that. See, here's, I'm going to let you guys in on something because, again, like I said, we don't have the same restrictions. Make sure you check us out Sundays, though. Well, we're not. That's a sensitive word. make sure you check us out on Sundays, Satellite Sundays 1-3, right here on the network, Blog Talk Radio. Also, the new show Jeremy's going to be a part of, Sports Roundup, Tuesdays and Thursdays, 11-1. It's going to be awesome. Jason's going to be contributing on this show. He's also on Satellite Sundays, also Friday Night Clicks. So all sorts of cool stuff we got here. But we don't have the same restrictions. This is kind of the chill out show. So I'm gonna say
sounds
this.
Good.
I'm gonna say this. Whenever I meet people for the first time, okay, it doesn't matter who it is, if it's a couple, okay, I'll just leave it at couples. And somebody's like, you know, hey, this is my girlfriend, or if it's a female friend of mine, hey, this is my boyfriend. Or it's a female friend of mine and this is my girlfriend, which is awesome as well. But the first thing I picture. Okay, first thing I picture is them having sex. And if I feel that it's compatible, I'm cool with them. But if I can't picture it and I'm like, that just doesn't work for me in my head, then I'm like, yeah, this is not going to work out. I'm going to be like, yeah, whatever. Hey, cool, that's your girlfriend. But I think to me, the compatibility of it is if I can picture them actually doing that, it's weird. That's just me. Maybe I'm a strange dude. I don't know.
What in the hell is wrong with you, man?
I'm just
have
saying.
Have you thought
about that's,
me having sex with my wife? Like, is that what you've been doing?
Well, I've never met your wife. I've never met
thank
your
you
wife,
Christ.
So I haven't
thank
pictured
God.
That with you yet. In
I
fact, the
not.
only time I've really ever seen you was with Grooney from.
Boom, I knew Grooney. That was coming. I knew that was coming. I did not have
Grooney's,
sex with Grooney. All right.
Grooney's listening, by the way. I think Grooney called in. Jeremy, I don't know if you know. I think this was before you joined us here at Overtime.News. We had Buff Bagwell on the show.
Oh,
and,
I know, I'm jealous.
Yeah, and if you would like, well, if you would like to call in, I don't have an exact date right now, but my sources are telling me that within a month or a couple months, we're going to have Booker T on the show.
Oh,
so,
I love it.
Yeah, so if you'd like to call in for the five-time WCW champion, you can.
Is Charmaine going to be there?
I don't think so. No, unfortunately, it's not going to be King Booker. It's just going to be Booker.
Stevie Ray's coming. I'm going to lose it.
Stevie Ray, we can try to hook that up. Also,
don't
coming down the pipe,
this.
Coming down the pipeline as well. Same promotion company is also Big Papa Pump Scott Steiner. So we'll try to. We'll try to get him on. Don't ask any questions that'll piss him off because he'll come through the computer screen and choke you. So don't do that.
Yeah,
but,
right. Was he going to Frankenstein me from 1984?
Maybe. And I also think that Dustin, I don't know if I'm going to allow Dustin on with Booker T because Dustin's not a big Booker T fan. And I don't want Booker T to be like, He did not just say that. Tell me he did not just say that.
Give him the
scissors kick. The scissor kick.
Yeah.
I would love that.
Yeah. No, he's an angler. Oh, come on.
Yeah. Oh my God, that's awesome.
I will pay $20 to let him do that.
You know what? If Booker T wants to send a video of his 50-year-old ass doing the spinaroonie, I will put it on the website in a heartbeat. That would be the most awesome thing I've ever seen. But anyway, switching gears here, because I don't even know when that's going to be. So stay tuned. Check on the website. We'll have details when we get them. The NXT, okay? NXT is sort of, I think, in some ways, better storyline-wise than what they've got going on in the main roster right now. Now, Jeremy, I don't know if you're a big NXT guy or if you've been following
it
at all.
Yeah, I don't
watch that's where a lot of the young talent has come from nowadays. And what is going on here on the television? This is some Attitude Era stuff right here. This is some ish. Anyway, so Finn Balor lost his NXT title to Samoa Joe. So for those of you who are familiar with Samoa Joe.
Yeah, what happened there?
Well, he was a big-time TNA guy. He was one of the top guys in TNA.
I know.
I'm just, for those who may not, big-time in NXT, Jesus, in TNA, and we took the belt off of Baylor. Now, Jason thinks that Finn Balor dropped the belt because he's going to be coming to the WWE main roster, and he can't come in as NXT champion. They're going to keep the NXT belt in NXT, and he's going to come up to the main roster. What about Samoa Joe, though? But wouldn't you think Samoa Joe would be, I mean, as big as he was and the following that he had in TNA?
Arguably,
AJ Styles wasn't as big as Samoa Joe was in TNA. Arguably,
no,
I mean.
No.
And look at him. He's going to title shot on Sunday.
I think they're going to wait on Samoa Joe and hold him down there for one reason only. He'll be the perfect opponent for Brock Lesnar. If Brock needs a SummerSlam opponent, that's who I would throw. I would pay good money to see. I'm paying good money to see Brock versus. I would pay to see Brock versus Samoa Joe at SummerSlam.
That'd be great.
Now SummerSlam is in the Barclays.
Oh, that's that whole weekend. Yep.
NXT
takeover.
You're not going to hear from Jason all weekend.
No. Well, here's the thing. Jason can walk to the Barclays Center from where he's at, so which is awesome.
Yeah.
So that's cool. See, I didn't know where SummerSlam was, so that's pretty dope. I'm actually going to Raw May 20th here up in Albany, so that should be pretty awesome. But now there has been rumors swirling, and Dustin doing his best intern impression right now, sending me via chat that there are rumors swirling around the depths of the internet that Finn Balor might show up tonight.
Oh, really?
That's the rumors that's swirling around right now.
Sweatshirt thing on TV right now.
They did. He's wildly popular. I mean, I've never seen. Mm. Put it this way, the NXT is sort of like the NBA D League, okay?
That's a good analogy.
Yeah, or it's like minor league baseball, right? Or like AAA in the minor league baseball.
Yeah.
You don't see D League jerseys being sold. You don't see minor league baseball hats being sold unless you order them directly from the team's site. So it's one of those things where NXT is probably the most popular developmental league I think I've ever seen. I mean, some of these guys that are the big guys in NXT have a bigger following than some of the lower card guys in the main roster.
Absolutely. Sami Zayn's got a big following. He is, he's about the fourth or fifth best guy in that, but he comes out to play and goes, I still think Kevin Owens is my favorite, though. I love him.
Yeah.
He might be with me. That's what I would be a wrestler if I was me. I'd be him. I love
it. You know what it is? You know what it is? It's Triple H being able to, relate to the fans. A lot of the fans are smarter now. We follow multiple wrestling companies. Like you said, Sami Zayn. Mm-hmm. Sami Zayn was known as El Generico back in Ring of Honor. He wore a mask. You didn't see the red hair. He wore a mask, and he had some great matches with Kevin Owens when he was called Kevin Steen, or Seth Rollins. He was known as Tyler Black. Or Apollo Crews, where he was known as Wuhan Nation. So a lot of the fans know the indie stars, and we talked about earlier Samoa Joe, AJ Styles. A lot of us used to follow TNA when TNA was really good.
I loved TNA.
A lot of these guys were the main guys.
I personally loved TNA just because there was such a a downtrend WWE for so long, and that time between like 2012 and CM Punk left up until about mid 2014 was just awful. So it's
terrible.
Even probably worse than it is now even. So I started watching TNA because that was the closest thing to what I grew up on. There was there was action, there was blood, there was those crazy moments. We didn't have all the divas in there that we have now. So Jeremy, I don't know how much TNA you watch, but the Beautiful People.
I watched a few.
Velvet Sky.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, I would be in prison for the rest of my life for the things I would do to Velvet Sky. But anyway, I know that sounds bad. I'm not saying it'd be anything bad.
Sorry to interrupt you, Chris. Have you ever seen the Ric Flair? You guys ever seen the Ric Flair Jay Lethal promo where Lethal makes fun of Ric Flair?
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now, my wife, who never watched wrestling, I had her watch that one night. I have never seen her laugh and piss herself so hard. That was the funniest damn thing I think I've ever seen. Like, Jay Lethal was brilliant, man. Oh, loved him.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I know he's not. Oh, he's brilliant.
No, Lethal was the man. He really was. And, you know, guys like
man was spot on,
but,
man.
But I also like some of the old guys I grew up on were in TNA at the time. Sting for a while, Hulk Hogan, who I know personally, my aunt knows personally.
Did you like
Christopher
Daniels? I thought he was pretty good.
Yeah, I liked him.
Kurt Angle.
But Bully Ray.
Yeah, Kurt Angle.
Was Bubba Ray.
Yeah.
Bully Ray. They had, the Hardys were there for a little while. It was
pretty good too.
Beer Money was awesome. I mean, it was just and the storylines. See, they did
were so much better. Yeah.
Well, yeah, they did what the Attitude Era used to do, and they used to build storylines. Because right now, these matches are just matches. These matches
doesn't take a month to develop.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense to me. Like back in the Attitude Era days, you had a storyline that would come to a head at the pay per view, but they'd spend the three or 4 weeks before the pay per view building it. It would escalate each week, and obviously JR added to that. But now you've got willy nilly clusterfuck matches that don't make any sense. And I don't care about AJ Styles or Roman Reigns. I don't care.
I don't either.
About the Jericho Ambrose. I don't care about the as great as they are, the Bullet Club and what's going on. I don't care because they haven't made me care. They haven't promoted it properly.
You're right.
So, but anyway, real quick though, I just got this in my inbox. And this is a press release coming live. Well, it's a press release coming. Oh, The Miz. Now she, whoever she is, holy shit.
That's Maurice.
That's
Maurice.
You never seen Maurice?
You don't remember Maurice from back in the day?
The French Canadian?
Like married, I think, in real life.
Yeah, she Maurice. She was the first Divas champion when they had the brand split and you had two women titles. She won the French Canadian, right?
I thought she was like, I thought she like died or something.
They fired her for a while there.
Something.
Well, she left.
Wow, she still looks. I mean, she was. Wow. Oh, well, hold on. But I'm going to read this that John just gave me, but I'm going to Google her real quick. Hold on.
Chris, don't get excited, man.
Maurice. Here she is. I know, I just want to see how old she is, because, I mean, Jesus. She is 33.
She can't be more than 30-something, yeah.
33, yeah, born in 1983. Wow. So, The Miz, so whoever said they were married, you are correct.
Yeah, that's right, I thought they were, yeah.
Trained by Al Snow and Ricky Steamboat, Dave Finlay, Tom Pritchard. She has some good training. Huh. Wow. Well, anyways. Release just came in my inbox here from the co-founder of this company, Justin Bork, and he wants me to read this live to you guys tonight regarding, I believe it's Finn Balor. Some rumblings about Balor making his way to Raw are due to the fact that Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson are now on WWE Superstars. Both men were Balor's former teammates when they ruled New Japan Pro Wrestling as the Bullet Club. Thoughts of a reformation are on many people's minds. Balor is no longer NXT champion either, having been dethroned unexpectedly in a non-televised event, adding to the speculation. At a live show in Lowell, Massachusetts last week, Balor lost the NXT championship to Samoa Joe, but really it was Balor himself who put it in the fans' heads that he was headed to Raw. Fan Connor J caught a video, blah, 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 blah. So basically, there's rumors that, I mean, he's only got 20 minutes left to come out, but there's rumors that he might come out. So, again, thank you, Dustin, for that little tidbit of information. Those of you who are familiar with the show, this is an hour and a half. We usually take you through the end of Raw. This is the China show, so we've been talking a little bit, reminiscing a little bit, and time has flown, time has flown. He yelled "See you Monday." That was the end of the. That's what was cut off. There. He yelled "See you Monday" when he lost the belt. So that's why people.
You know,
think
normally,
that.
If this was the night after WrestleMania, I would say he would come out. But you have a pay per view on Sunday. It would make more sense to either bring him out at the end of the pay per view, you know, help him screw Roman or whoever, and then bring him back.
Oh, he screws Roman tonight. He screws Roman tonight, and then that gives them the advantage because that's Bullet Club. And possibly AJ, because again, I mean, everybody knows what's going to happen with the AJ thing. You see that coming a mile away, but let's just say possibly AJ, because he's not confirming or denying anything. So then it's 4-on-3. Okay, and then you got Dean Ambrose. Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm.
What happens then when Seth Rollins comes back? Do we see the Shield?
Oh, that's interesting.
Do we see the Shield formation, perhaps? I don't know. So,
I hope they don't bring the Shield back. That's just a bad idea.
You don't want to see Shield?
No, look, I've been there, done that. They, you know, their lack of putting anything together anymore that people watch is just getting so downright. It's like it's repeating. It's like, oh, you've seen it. It's like, again? Like, I'm sorry. I love Seth Rollins, the singles wrestler. I think he's actually fantastic. I don't want to see them put him back together. It just doesn't make any sense. It feels like it's like a broken record over and over again. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh my God,
that's where they're going, though. I really think we're going for a Shield versus Bullet Club faction throwdown this summer. I really think that's the direction they're going.
Oh, my God. My roommate just brought four folks in. It's going to be a wild night.
Oh, good Lord.
Oh, my goodness. I haven't had that since college. So here's the thing. Dustin is messaging me right now. He is saying he thinks something has to happen here. Raw needs to be must-see again. It needs to be something big. And I think bringing out a guy like that would be something big. Right now, I know Jason loves him, but I'm a big fan of the Swiss Superman. I really don't like the Cesaro character. I know he's a great athlete. He's a hell of an athlete. Not a big fan. Right now, for those of you watching Raw, The Miz is arguing with Cesaro, and I just don't give a shit. I really don't. I just honestly don't. I mean, this is one of those willy-nilly, out-of-nowhere things that just, why? Like, you didn't build this storyline. You're doing it a week before the pay-per-view because neither one of them have a match. It just doesn't make any sense. So taking you through the end of Raw, we'll comment on how Raw ends. Hopefully, we'll see Finn Balor. Jumping ahead, though, do you guys feel that WWE is salvageable now based on potential alone? Or do you think
maybe
that they've gone so far off the tracks that it doesn't matter what they do, this is a sinking ship, per se?
You asking me first?
Sure.
Go ahead.
Okay. You know, I don't know where they're going. Like, I grew up in the big days with the superstars, put asses in the seats, and you know, now it's like they're developing great young kids, which I'm happy about, truthfully. But, like, how long do you have to wait for these guys to develop and, you know, get some characters and storylines going? I would say it's salvageable, but I don't know how long it's going to take. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think that they need something. And that sort of leads us into the next topic we'll get to in a minute, with Cena saying that they need cursing and blood back. But we'll jump to that in a second. I know, Jason, we sort of talk a little bit about this, you know, every week, but based on what we've seen, the product is just not getting better. The pay-per-views have gotten better, but the Raws, there was a couple that give us some hope, and then they kind of go off the rails again the next week. Is this a sinking ship, or do you think that with the NXT that there's some potential there?
Definitely is a potential. They just got to develop the storylines better because there's more than enough talent on the roster.
Is it me, or does Cesaro look like the character Hitman right now?
He looks
like
a combination
like a
of Hitman.
Ripoff.
Yeah, James Bond ripoff, exactly.
But James Bond was never
James
bald.
Bond
I think
can't
he looks
do
like
a swing,
Hitman.
Man. Yeah.
Oh, swing Maurice. Please swing Maurice. Please do it.
Hey, I hate to cut you guys off, my friends, but I have to get up early for class. So sorry.
Thank you for having me.
I appreciate it.
Not a problem. And we'll definitely be in touch with you. Feel free to call in every Monday if you want, and I'll let you know
absolutely.
About the let you know about the Booker thing.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on, guys. Take care, Jason.
Not a problem. All right, see you.
Thanks.
Okay, bye, Chris. Okay, bye.
Bye. So that was Jeremy. You can see him every Sunday as well as every Thursday here on the Overtime.News. This is Off the Ropes. Jason and Chris taking you to the end of Raw and uneventful again as Maurice gets in the way. And if this was Attitude Era, Maurice would have gotten a chair to the back or something, which would have been awesome. But it wasn't. You know, he took the high road, and that's unfortunately not what I wanted to see. John Cena plans to return. I believe they said, if I'm reading this correct,
I think it's the Royal you're going to be at.
May 20th, right? Yeah, the Memorial Day weekend. Yeah.
Yep.
Which would be awesome. I would be down for that. In Albany, New York. You know, a lot of people hate Cena. I mean, I know that, you know, half the crowd chants, let's go Cena. The other half chants, Cena sucks. I think Cena right now, I think it would be good to have a familiar face. I think it would be good to have something to get the crowd going because right now they're sort of it's just kind of vanilla. And I think if Cena is working behind the scenes with Triple H and Vince to do what he says he thinks WWE needs again, which is Kurt Blood, then I think that obviously he'll come in and do something crazy the first week. Do you think that this would help or hurt the current state of WWE being – as several superstars had labeled it, a kid's show. Jason, do you feel that bringing blood and cursing back in would sort of hurt the brand at this point? Or do you think that that's just sort of the antidote to cure the insatiable bloodlust that all these people have?
Absolutely. They need to, if not on Raw, at least SmackDown, have one of your shows designated to be more of a, you know, Attitude Era-like. If you're not going to develop storylines, at least do that. That would help the product out tremendously. And speaking of Cena, Cena reminds me, I hate to say this, but he reminds me of Tony Romo. You don't know how much you miss him until he's gone. When Cena was gone, I mean, everything just went to the toilet. The U.S. title champ, you know, matches he would have every week. He was a great promo
matches.
Guy. He was great matches.
And
it was like the best
matches, good
matches every
yeah.
week.
And, you know, Cena is a hell of a – I mean, you might not like his character because he's been the same thing for a decade. So he might be a little bit stale now. But he is a hell of an athlete, and you
Absolutely.
Know he's a good fighter. I mean, he is on par, I think, athletically with some of the Attitude Era guys, at least in terms of what they could do in the ring, probably even better. And if there's one thing that the WWE has going for them right now, it is the fact that a lot of these guys are, you know, I would say better athletes than we saw back in the day.
Sure, couldn't agree more, yep.
And I think that, you know, the shock value isn't quite there. But, you know, again, who needs shock value? Now, another thing, you know, I don't know. Do you think that perhaps if Cena comes back here that we're going to start to see, like, a little bit more of – I don't know. Do you think we'll start to see a little bit more of the blood and cursing? I mean, Cena's really – I think it's pretty contradictory that he's saying that WWE needs more blood and cursing and stuff when Cena was really the catalyst for starting this whole kids movement. Cena was the one who really became the role model. He would wear the colorful shirts. He would, you know, always go into the crowd and high-five the kids and do all the stuff. And he sort of became the model for the middle school kid. And now he's saying he wants to get away from that. So I don't know really what's changed in Cena's mind here.
Maybe because he feels like he's the older guy now and he wants to push the youth. And he just want to be, you know, he doesn't want to be the guy where, you know, like how we have New Day now. New Day seems to be wearing the bright colors and the kids like them and the unicorns and all that stuff. Maybe Cena
Studios,
wants to take a step
yeah.
back. Maybe Cena wants to take a step back and be like, hey, you know, let those guys do the thing. I just come here to fight, whatever the case may be. Like, I would love to see Cena versus Roman Reigns in a promo, just promos alone, not even a match, but promo-wise. Cena would help push his character so much. He'd be like, hey, you know, the fans are not relating with you because they think you're phony. You got to prove to me that you're not phony. You know, things like that. Cena would help ad-lib the situation. So that's why I'm happy that he's coming back.
And I liked what Cena did with The Rock. I think that whole Cena-Rock thing back when they had the rap battle versus The Rock show, that whole
yep.
thing was awesome. You know, and I, you know, I liked – I understand what he's saying, though, because even back then, they were still quote-unquote PG, but they were able to. I mean, Cena said bitch a lot. The Rock said some curse words, things like that. They were able to say, you know, instead of saying beat you up this Sunday, they were able to say I'm going to kick your ass. That's what you know they were allowed to say that. So I definitely feel that that would bring back, you know, people our age back some more interest. But I from a PR standpoint, I don't see it. I don't see, maybe there'll be a little bit of blood. Maybe because, I mean, we saw a little bit with Triple H and Roman Reigns with the whole thing blooded up his nose and stuff. I mean, we saw it a little bit, but we're never going to see, you know, chair shots to the head again. We're never going to see first blood matches. You know, we're not going to see, even the Hell in a Cell, that everybody is still talking about with Undertaker and Shane was tame compared to the old Hell in the Cell matches.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, it really was. You know, I mean, you're not going to see thumbtacks anymore. You're not going to see, you know, burning table. Remember when Mick Foley went through the burning table, got speared through the burning table by
Edge?
Edge,
yeah.
You're not going to see that anymore. You're not going to see any of that stuff because even right now, what Roman Reigns is doing, talking to the kid. Now, I understand it's great. It's Make-A-Wish Foundation. This kid's terminally ill. Roman Reigns is that's fine. Great. No problem. But that sort of, I think, furthers my point that this is a kid-friendly program because there was dying kids in the 90s. There was the Make-A-Wish Foundation in the 90s. And we saw sometimes those things, but it wasn't – it seems like every week – you see a lot of young faces in the crowd, and you see them constantly coming up to the kids, giving away T-shirts, doing this, doing that. So I just don't know what they're gonna do with it. I'd like to think that I can read the booking crew here, but I can't. I don't know. I don't know what they have planned, which is good. But usually, you know, I come to be excited and then I get disappointed pretty quick. Like right now, why is Alberto Del Rio fighting Roman Reigns? What is the point?
I don't know, but one thing I'm excited about, no more League of Nations music, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, you didn't like League of Nations.
I just didn't. And look how quickly they disappeared. I mean, it's just like you said earlier, they don't develop any storylines anymore.
No, and there's really no reason for Del Rio to be fighting him. If anything, like back in the day, they used to have you fight somebody if you were the champion before the pay-per-view, either against the opponent you were fighting or against one of his associates. So, for instance, if Triple H was facing The Rock would be going up against X-Pac and Road Dogg or something on the night the Monday before, you know, or he'd be going up against Shawn Michaels. He'd be going up against whoever. And, you know, then you'd see a run-in, you'd see some chaos, you'd hear JR scream, you know, it was like that. Now, there's really no real purpose. They're just kind of throwing this match together because Alberto Del Rio had a free spot, and that's what it is. And, you know, if Finn Balor was going to come out, this would be the time to do it, because obviously then it will show his allegiance to the Bullet Club, who attacked Roman last week. So that would be sort of a cool storyline, if there is one. That would be something that would be kind of interesting. But, again, I'm not trying to disparage WWE here, but they'll probably mess that up too like they did with the Wyatts. They could have done so much more with the Wyatts. And now that Bray is gone, they're all gone. So, you know, I don't know. Bray's on the shelf, and you haven't seen anything from them in quite some time. Switching gears here, 35 minutes left to go off the ropes, taking you to the end of Raw, about 6 minutes or so left here on the live broadcast. Who knows if they're going to go over or not. I don't know. So many different ideas that they could go with this. I mean, you could see Triple H come back out because Stephanie's in the building. You could see Triple H come back out. You could see a Finn Balor appearance. Bullet Club could come back out. That would be probably the most boring of all of them. You could see AJ Styles screw him over. You know, you could see a lot of different things happen here. So we'll see sort of how they end off this Raw before Payback, which used to be Backlash.
Right.
I still love Backlash. Backlash was – I always thought – honestly, I enjoyed Backlash just as much as WrestleMania because you had everything that happened at WrestleMania, and then you had some awesome, awesome Backlash matches. In fact, one that comes to mind – I was trying to find the audio clip earlier, but it wouldn't upload for whatever reason – was when it was Rock and Triple H in I believe it was Iron Man match, I believe. No, it wasn't. That was when the Undertaker came back in 2000. It was a Last Man Standing, and obviously Vince and Shane came in, and Rock got attacked by DX and all that, and they were beating them down, and Rock was... Yeah, and then Stone Cold came. This was when he was still out with his neck injury. Stone Cold came back and, you know, kicked the shit out of the corporation, and JR had an aneurysm. And that was an awesome, awesome moment. And that wasn't even the end of the show. That wasn't even the main event match. So I actually, maybe it was. It was a while ago. It was 99, so it was a while ago. Maybe it was. But still, I just, to me, we don't get that anymore. You don't get the excitement anymore. I mean, I'm watching Raw on mute. And it wouldn't make any difference if I was watching it on mute or if I was watching it live. It would make no difference. And, you know, I know I play this clip every week, but I just love it so much.
Kurt Braun! Triple H standing guard! Oh, my God! Oh, my God! Triple H! Just hit Austin with the face of the sledgehammer! What the hell is that? Oh, Stone Cold has been destroyed! Have been left battered and bloody and hammered at the hands of the Gage and the sledgehammer. Triple H, the accomplice! Why, Triple H? You son of a bitch! Why? Tell me why!
I mean, when are we ever going to see that again? I mean, are we going to see that again? Ever?
I don't think so.
I mean, that is a hell of an audio clip. I mean, you don't even need to know what happened to know what happened. You know, obviously it was a Triple H. It was Triple H being Triple H. He was sort of being a nice guy for a little bit. He was going through some marital issues. He was doing this whole – well, that was the kayfabe anyway. He was going through the whole thing. He was sort of starting to turn over to the nice side. And then he was revealed as the accomplice that you know, ran over – or at least put the plot together to run over Stone Cold. And it was just great TV, great radio, great everything. It was just so amazing. That – and also, I don't think we're ever, in the wise words of Chris Jericho, ever going to see the end of a pay-per-view. And I let me just see before I set this up here. I still have it because Dustin might have taken it off. If he did, that's fine. But, yeah, I don't see it. That's fine. But I don't think we're ever going to see the end of a pay-per-view and end of a show like that anymore. There's no excitement to me anymore, unfortunately. And, you know, I don't even think we're going to see, like when Chyna used to come out, we played her theme song in the beginning of the show. She used to have that big, that rock launcher. I mean, that was pretty badass.
You're not going to get any of that anymore.
Let me try to see if I can quickly upload. I don't know how quick this is going to upload, but from a standpoint of, you know, me being a play-by-play guy myself, I'm like, hey, WWE, you know, hey, I'm here. I was in Connecticut for a while. I could totally get things interesting again. But Jim Ross doesn't actually ask good questions to Buff Bagwell about Jim Ross. Ross came back. When Buff was on, rather, about Ross's comments regarding him. Is Jim Ross kind of a D-bag in person? Like, do you know anything about that? Is he kind of a jerk? He was kind of that lovable fat guy that, you know, used to get excited about something, but it's kind of an ass.
I've always heard that, you know, he is great behind the scenes, you know. Because, you know, I know he was in charge of personnel and development, and everybody seemed to like him. I'm surprised to hear that about, you know, Jim Ross. So I always assumed he was a fun, lovable guy, just like how you said.
And, you know, this is how you can tell you've got somebody good. This is how you can tell, even though Vince Russo, a lot of people say Vince Russo ruined the WWE. To be honest, he ruined the WCW. He didn't ruin WWE. He was almost single-handedly responsible for putting WWE out of business because their, you know, storyline started to suck, but he was responsible for a lot of some of the best moments I think we've had. And I think that when Cornette shoots out about how Russo was kind of a snake and that, but I feel like we've got is a 3-hour you know, time filler. Really, like, what else am I to do with my Monday nights, you know, besides do this show? So I think that it gives us content for the show, gives us, you know, stuff to bitch about, but it doesn't really give us any substance.
But you know what's
what
bad about that,
to
though?
Me because,
you know what's bad about that,
but,
though? Like, now is the time where they should capitalize on that, because once football comes around, you're competing with the NFL. You're not winning that fight. Like, now should be your best product heading into the summer and build from there instead of waiting and waiting and, you know, then your competition heats up.
Sure, and, you know, with NFL being arguably the largest sport, but definitely in the country, and now they're starting to go worldwide with it. It's one of those things where they almost – they're starting at 8, and they're starting at the same time. They're starting at the same time Monday Night Football starts. So, yeah, they definitely need to, but they're going to lose out the Monday Night. They've lost out the football. In fact, the Attitude Era was pretty much the only time, I think, ever that they beat the
Monday Night
Football. And I just, to me, I understand this is what you're doing. This is what you've got in mind now. This is your gig thing. Okay, no problem. Okay, I mean, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. They're making billions of dollars. They're selling merchandise. They're selling out stadiums. Okay, but why settle? If they're saying,
exactly,
you know what, we're making money right now. Okay, we're selling merchandise. We're doing this. We're doing. Why settle? Why not make more? I mean, you had a time period in the 90s where you almost single-handedly put your company on the map and put your brand, your sport on the map. People, I mean, WWE was bigger than WWF for a long time. To think pro wrestling was kind of like, pro wrestling, it's kind of frowned upon a little bit. The Attitude Era, you know, actually, when I think about it, though, they sort of fed off of what the general attitude of the country was. And I'm thinking about it now as I'm up to the clip. And remember, Doc, and Woodstock 99 was out in Utica, New York. And, you know, everyone knows they were breaking off and there was fire and they were, you know, tipping over porta potties and they were ripped down. And it was just an angry, violent generation. So I think what the product they put out appealed to them. And as much as I bitch and complain about it, if I actually stop and think about it for a second, I don't know if that would be as popular right now, simply because of everything with the sensitivity in the country and with some of the, you know, the kid friendly message that they're doing and this and that. I feel like maybe that would be detrimental to them. I don't know if you share the same sentiments there.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, do you think that, you know, that chair shots and blood and thumbtacks and bra and panties matches would not go over well?
I think maybe not the bra and panties, because the women's movement will go apeshit. They'll be like, we're real wrestlers just like the men. You know, it's kind of why they got rid of the name Diva and went back to women's. You know what I mean? The movement will just, it would be too much for them. The only thing I would say, though, I would say bring back blood, because, hey, you're competing with UFC and there's blood in that all the time, and they're on major networks. You know, you guys are on cable. You should be able to. Yeah, people love it. You guys are on cable. You should be able to push the envelope a little bit.
Yeah, understandably. I think that, and that's sort of part of one of our other topics here. Have they gone far off the rails to get back into it? Because I think that now, with everything they've done, they might be a little too PG. You know what I'm saying? That's almost like making a movie. That's almost like making a Disney movie, a Disney Pixar movie, and then making a sequel that it are. You know, it's like you can't do that and expect it to have the same ratings. Wait a minute. Oh, okay, here comes Bullet Club. Okay, so we're taking you through the end of Raw here. comes Bullet Club. They're pointing. They're waiting for something. Are we going to see Finn Balor here? Is Dustin correct, as usual? Let's see. Oh, just a distraction. Boring old distraction. Oh, he kicked out. Okay, well that's wow. A shame. I would have actually enjoyed seeing him get upset there. Seeing him get screwed over. I would have enjoyed seeing that, but we can only.
Oh, that's such a terrible spear.
That's a terrible ending. Screw him over. That's what you have to do to a champion before the pay-per-view. You screw him over, and then he gets his moment of redemption at the pay-per-view. Jesus. And here comes Bullet Club. Now, are we going to see Finn Balor? Yes, no, maybe. It's 11:06.
They'll probably get AJ trying to break it up. Or maybe it's or help him. Who knows?
Yeah, well, you called it. Here comes AJ. And AJ's notice he's not hitting them though. He's just kind of being the breaking up the fight. Let's see. Now Bullet Club, those are some big dudes. I didn't realize how large they were.
Yeah, Luke Gallows. You remember what's his name? Fester when he was WWE before.
Yeah. Oh boy, Superman Punch. Okay. No. I do. I just seeing them in these outfits. They're bigger than I thought. Oh, here comes Bullet Club again. We're gonna see Finn Balor. Yes, no, maybe. Superman Punch, which is such a dumb move.
I hate that. I hate his
Styles.
Offense. I hate his offense.
Now, Styles is the same thing. What, you can't tell me that the phenomenal forearm is not the same thing as Superman Punch. It's exactly
it looks
the same.
A little, it looks better. It looks better because he's a smaller guy, maybe.
Possibly, yeah. Okay, so no Finn Balor yet. Did he lose a tooth? He might have lost a tooth. You see him? Oh, my goodness.
Oh.
No, he did. Maybe. Hopefully he lost the tooth. That'd be awesome. I know it's terrible to wish that upon somebody, but. Again, another finish that, you know, back in the day, they would have screwed the champion over here. They would have.
I'll give him hope that maybe they're waiting until after Payback, which I completely forgot was this Sunday.
Yeah, it's Sunday. No Finn Balor, as far as I can tell. So maybe they are going to bring him back at the pay-per-view, which would be smarter, I would say.
Yeah.
But then why was he saying, see you Monday? I don't know. I mean, you never know. Nowadays, kids say, yeah, see, now that is much more badass. For anybody that's watching Raw, that's much more badass than a stupid Superman punch. My question is, though, if he just hit Roman in the face with his forearm, why is he grabbing his mouth? I'm totally confused here and taken aback. Anyway, AJ Styles, for people out there who have maybe been watching the past couple weeks, has been in the company for about a month and is getting a world title shot. Some of that might be because of his accolades in TNA. I don't know. But I was going to ask you, now, this is actually a cool segue. It's about a 3-minute clip. But we've got 21 minutes left to go here. Soak this in. This is 1999. Oh, that's right. It's a Superman punch. I'll tell you, you should be an intern, man. You would be a hell of an intern. He's giving me all my chat box stuff. This is a hell of a clip, and I'm going to play it, and I'm going to play it in its entirety simply because that ending right there, okay? As exciting as it may have been, okay, Bullet Club comes out and it's one versus all and this and that. Are we ever, ever going to see an ending quite like this? If you remember it, it's 1999 Backlash, right after WrestleMania. Rock had won the title from Triple H in that, Triple H had retained the title in that. Rock got screwed over at WrestleMania by Vince McMahon. For those of you who don't remember, this is 1999, and I'm playing that Hail Prince 1999. Arguably, in my opinion, one of the best moments. Tell me when this ends if we're ever, ever going to hear this again.
He's gonna bust a rock open. Those grapefruits are growing, baby. Oh. or this is over. This is just what the McMahon-Helmsley regime wanted. What's bigger than a grapefruit? Like a cantaloupe or something? Look at McMahon, I want you to count the three. The Rock can't even get up.
If you have half a brain, you can't tell me that there's not a hell of a way to end a pay-per-view.
Absolutely.
I mean, you don't even know – like, you don't even need to watch the clip to know what happened, okay? And the way that JR laid that out, I understand some people think he goes a little overboard, sure. But the way that he laid that out was just brilliant. And, you know, the pop – that Stone Cold got, and the emotion on the face of everybody, it was just – it was a beautiful thing. I mean, I remember being a kid sitting in eighth grade watching that pay-per-view, you know, having to work extra chores to pay my mom back the $60 it was to rent it. It was –
Thank
it
God
was,
for the network.
Exactly, right? That, now, if we had this back then, I would have told my mom to F off. But now, I mean, that's what I do nowadays, but I, you know, whatever. So now watching that or listening to that, I'm just like, you know, I don't really care about pay-per-views. I mean, quite frankly, because of the dedication to the network and the dedication to, you know, OTN and to this show and to you as my co-host and to what we're doing, that's really the only reason I keep up with it, and I sort of rely on you to be the stat guy, and tonight Dustin to be the stat guy to sort of get some of the inside scoop on some things that I might be missing. But overall, I mean, I used to be glued. That's probably why I need glasses now. I'm just too stubborn to wear them. I used to be glued to that television every Monday and Thursday. I used to sit with my nose pressing against the television when that kind of stuff would happen, and it was just so unbelievably awesome. So my main thing is, I might seem a little calm. I know my radio persona is different. If you ever heard me do my play-by-play, it's a bit different. It's JR-esque in a way. And I'll send you over that clip of the basketball that I do for Skidmore. But it's – I think if WWE – if you're listening, or Buff Bagwell, if you're listening, or Bob out in Fargo, if you're listening and you have connections to the WWE, let's do this, okay? Let's have Jason and I be the commentators for WWE, and let's have Dustin be the backstage ring announcer or ring guy, okay, or the backstage interviewer. And Dustin will ask really controversial questions and get underneath the skin of some of the wrestlers. And then when they get up in his face, Dustin just knocks him out. I mean, how awesome would that be? And then, you know, Dustin will, like, he'll get in there and he'll be like, you know, that guy that kind of was like, hey, so you lost a match, jackass. Like, how do you feel? You know, and they'll be like, well, how do you think I feel? And Dustin would be like, ah, well, you suck. That's why, ah, you know, and then get into it. That'd be awesome. And then Jason just be like, man, you know, Dustin's treading on thin ice here. And I'd be like, good God, what is Justin doing? Dustin's going to get his ass kicked. And then you'd be like, yeah, man, if I were him, man, I'd step back. And Dustin would be like, ah, you suck. That's why you lost, motherfucker. And then, you know what I'm saying? And then, and then Dustin and him would get into a tango. And I'd be like, good God, he's going to. You know, what is Dustin Bork doing? Has he lost his mind? And then Jason's like, he lost his damn mind. You know what I'm saying? How awesome would that be?
We'll see chairs and everything.
Yeah, if we can make that happen. And Dustin, and let's see. Who would I want to see Dustin fight? Well, you know what? Let's put Dustin up against Sheamus. Dustin up against Sheamus, and Dustin starts making fun of his haircut and everything, and he's like, you know, your big tub of mayonnaise, you know, blah, 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 starts making fun of him and shit. And then Sheamus gets all up in his face, and then Dustin and him start tangoing, and I start freaking out about, you know, about it. I just, oh my God, that would be good television. But if that would have happened now, it'd just be like, oh my gosh, what is Dustin Bork doing? Oh, he shouldn't tangle with Sheamus. And then you'd get JBL be like, I told you, we need the authority, you know. And then you get Byron Saxton like, this is trending worldwide, you know, the hashtag Dustin Bork, you know, like it's just, that's all they have right now. So I definitely feel this starts, the action starts. I feel that if JR or somebody like JR were still doing this, they could make it a lot more interesting for the TV watcher. Because honestly, I've heard, and you've been at the live shows recently.
Mm-hmm.
I have some buddies who have been at live shows. The live product is good. Okay. If you appreciate athleticism and all that stuff and what they do, the live product is good. It's the TV product that's suffering. And
I agree.
I definitely think that if you had somebody like that to make it interesting for the viewers at home, that you'd be a lot better off. And you know, we could play it off with I wouldn't quite be like JR because my voice is a little higher pitched and it would probably sound weird, but I could be like the, you know, the freak out guy and this and that. And so I don't know if anyone's listening, if Buff or any of them is listening, let's try to make that happen. I would single-handedly bring back Buff Bagwell. I would reinstate anybody that Buff Bagwell wanted, because can you imagine Buff the Stuff on that show right now? I think that would be a huge kick in the ass for this company. I'll be the announcer, but I also want to sort of be like the guest GM, sort of, you know?
Okay. That's a good idea.
And I would reinstate, like I said, I would bring back Buff Bagwell. I would bring back some of these guys. I would have had Samoa Joe up there already. I would have had Finn Balor up there already. I would have a better product. And I would also, okay, fine. You don't want to give your guys concussions. You have the whole concussion protocol, sure, whatever. So hit them in the back with chairs. Put them through more tables. I mean, I love that they're doing a little bit of something with the announce table stuff. It's getting boring now because that's all they're really doing, because that's all they feel like they're able to do. So if it were me, I would love, let's see. I would love, like, you remember when I'm trying to find the clip here, but I don't know how much time we have. Oh, about 9 minutes. Remember when Undertaker hit Austin in the head with the shovel?
I remember that.
And then he was going to embalm him, and he was talking in tongues, and he had the whole thing, and he had the big, you know, as a kid, watching that, I mean, I think kids are too sheltered these days. I think kids are, you know, they're pampered too much these days, and everything is sugar-coated. When I was a kid, I was watching that Raw episode, and I was literally pissing my pants. I'm like, holy shit, Undertaker is going to kill Stone Cold right now. I mean, that's how they made it. That's how they made it seem. I mean, Austin was limp as a freaking rag. Okay, he was limp as a rag. He was sitting there. Paul Bearer was ready. Undertaker had the big embalming thing up above him. He was speaking in tongues. You know, no hope was in sight. And he starts to come down with it. And I'm sitting there thinking, holy shit, this is what is going on. And
it can
and
happen.
Then,
yep.
Yeah, and then Kane comes in. You know, Kane obviously, you know, saves the day and the whole thing. But I just those moments of suspense. Or the whole thing when Undertaker actually was responsible for a lot of those moments when he was stalking Stephanie and there was camera shots from inside the McMahon house, from inside Stephanie's room, and they had Stephanie's teddy bear that he lit on fire.
Yeah.
I mean, that whole thing, absolutely amazing. You know, and even the more the moments like when Stone Cold had joined the Alliance and Kurt Angle was the quote-unquote good guy. And when he wanted to make Austin cry and he was trying to threaten to throw him off the bridge, right? And then the whole thing, and he's, you know, he's going to throw him off the bridge, and he's doing the whole thing, and then he just shoves him back into the kiddie pool filled with water. I mean, even that was a hilarious moment that you were sitting there thinking, holy shit, is Kurt Angle going to do something right now? It just seemed, even though you knew in the back of your mind it was written, it was scripted, they made it seem so real. Am I wrong about that?
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, that's what was so good about it back then. Now it's like we beg for those, just a little bit of those things right now.
Yeah, I mean, you can tell it's scripted now. Before, you knew it was, it looked more real. It looked like you were watching an actual soap opera, like an actual – like okay, put it this way. Your favorite TV show, right? I don't know how much TV you watch or series you watch, but something like Breaking Bad or Mad Men or even Game of Thrones, something like that.
Current favorite, okay?
Well, what is your current favorite, Game of Thrones?
Game of Thrones, yeah.
Yeah? So you watch Game of Thrones, and for that – I don't know how long it is. I haven't watched it in a while, but for that hour or however long it is, or even with something like Walking Dead, you know, for that hour or half hour, you are consumed. You are there. You are in the Middle Ages, or you were in the zombie apocalypse, or you were in, in deep with meth dealers and things. You are captivated and pulled in by that TV broadcast, and it's almost as like time disappears. It's over too quick. You know, you are part of it. And every week you want to stop and everything you're doing and watch it again just to see what happens. And that's what the Attitude Era has. And that's, there are plenty of marks, and anybody who listens to this show, I've seen plenty of message boards blowing up about why the Attitude Era was actually bad for wrestling. If there were any listeners who want to come on and state why that is, and I'm going to promote this to those wrestling boards later after the show ends, feel free to come on and we'll argue with you. And, you know, we'll have Dustin interview you in the back and throw you through a glass, you know, window or something. and we'll do all that, because I just – how can you not say that time period was not as exciting? Even without JR, even if you had Michael Cole, it would have still been exciting.
It would have still been great. Yep.
Because they gave you cliffhangers. They gave you something that kept you coming back next week, because you're like, damn, what's going to happen? I need to know what's going on. Like, what, you know, what's going to happen next week? You're interested in what's going to happen. This week, it seems like the Divas matches, sure, okay, that's been an ongoing thing. But it's been, other than that, it's been, okay, well, Roman Reigns is going to fight some schmuck. He's going to win. You know, it's going to be the Authority's going to screw somebody over. It's going to be it's the same shit week after week after week. And that's sort of what I miss. And, you know, rest in peace, China. She was a big part of that, nostalgic era. I'm trying to end the show off here with a clip, if I can find it, of China. If I don't, I'll just end with her theme music as tribute to her. Instead of our normal outro. But I'm trying to find one that I think that would do her justice, that's not, you know, 10 minutes long here on YouTube. But, yeah, and even China, even even China's storylines were great, were amazing. Back when she was formed up with the Cat, then
yeah,
it became the Kitty, then got married to Jerry Lawler.
Mm-hmm.
And she had that was sort of the first Damien Sandow-esque thing. Because
yeah.
It was sort of a little stunt double, dressed the same, acted the same, dyed her hair the same. I think that China was the one thing that had carried over the Attitude Era. Because Stone Cold, we know he's done. He's doing his podcast. We know The Rock's making movies. We know this and that. China was really that one thing that people could hold on to say, hey, you know what? She still looks good. She's still in fighting condition. And to me, it was one of those things where, you know, I felt that if there was every week when these women came out, I'm like, huh, are we going to see China? Is China going to, you know, because Lita came out and introduced the, China came out and introduced the new women's belt, Lita did, and all this. And I'm sitting there thinking, Divas Revolution, are we going to see China? Are we going to see China? Are we going to see China? And again, I had no idea about the beef that we talked about in the beginning of the show. So, you know, so obviously we weren't going to see China, and now we're never going to see China again, unfortunately.
It's
so
sad. It's so sad. It's so sad.
Yeah, so, I mean, we lost two legends this week, you know, this past week. Rest in peace, Prince. Rest in peace, China, or Joni Lauer. And that's going to do it. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to promote the show to those mean people who don't think the Attitude Era was good for the company, and I'm going to extend an invitation to come on next week and tell us why you don't think it was good for the company. This has been Off the Ropes. Make sure you check out Friday Night Clicks. Are you still with Jackie? Is Jackie doing it with you?
Jackie's still doing it, yep.
Jackie,
next week.
So make sure you get the debut of that next week. Jason and Jackie, Double J, go on Friday Night Clicks every Sunday, 1 to 3, Satellite Sundays, and the new show, Sports Roundup, Tuesdays and Thursdays from 11 to 1, your lunchtime sports and, well, actually, that's your sports fix. Satellite Sundays is your sports and pop culture fix. This was Off the Ropes for wrestling fans everywhere. We will see you next week. Hopefully, payback is worth the $9.99. We'll see you. Rest in peace, China.
Hi, this is China, and I just want to respond to you.
I'm sorry. This is the right clip.
Don't treat me like a woman. Don't treat me like a man.